Bible Podcast.
Good morning, Pastor Arnie. Thank you so much for giving me this opportunity to deliver the word this morning. It's a privilege. But if you came here for the first time, we as a church have gone through the book of Genesis for the last 2 years. How many of you appreciate the book of Genesis? Today we'll be looking at chapter 20. But before I go on, let me just say something, a little something about myself. This is my family. The one on the blue, in the blue is my dad. And behind him is our eldest brother. He's a businessman. Second brother is the one in purple. He's one of our ministers in the Philippines. Behind my other brother is my mom. And behind me is my sister-in-law. And of course, the one in black is me. I am the youngest in the family. I'm the only girl. And that's why sometimes it's hard for my parents to actually let me go and let me do what God has for me to do. And I've been here in Singapore for 6 months, and it has been a great walk with God. How many of you know that when God does something in your life, the response is what He's looking at? And as we respond in faith, we experience more of God. All right? So let me just read from Genesis chapter 20, verse 1. From there, Abraham journeyed towards the territory of Negev and lived between Kadesh, Sur, and he sojourned in Gerar. I was looking at this verse and the story in chapter 20. I am reminded of what I love to do at times. More or less, I love to run, but there are days that I really don't like to run, but I still run. But I remember the time of my gym friends. I have gym friends and gym partners to encourage me to actually go to the gym. So we decided to take our treadmill runs. How many of you sometimes treadmill runs can be really boring and inside the gym? So we decided to take it on the road. And we ran for almost a year on the road and just having fun. And after a year or so, before a year was over, we started to feel pains. How many of you know that running can be painful? And I started to feel pains on my knees, my ankles, and sometimes my calves, my hamstrings. And then finally, a friend of ours who's also a triathlete said, "Why don't you get training? Why don't you get a coach?" We said, "What? We just want to run. What is this coaching and spending money for something we just like to do?" And then we were finally convinced that we did take some training, and we hired a coach, about five of us, so we paid, and went with it. When he started to train us, I realized that there were all the things that I did in running, most of them were wrong. Funny, because we were not professionals. We thought we were, but we were not. So it was so hard for me to unlearn the things that I was used to in running, because it almost took a year. And you know what? After a year, I formed habits. I formed ways of running according to what I thought running was. And it was so difficult when the coach was saying, "That's the wrong way to run. This is the right way to run." Mm-hmm. After 6 months, and we did it for 3 times a week, we finally got the right form of running. But till to this day, there are times that I would go back to my old way of running. How many of you can relate with me? I still feel the wrong way. It usually happens when I'm tired, or when I'm bored, or when I'm in a hurry to finish my run. Maybe you're like me. In the journey of life and the journey with God, there are many times we will meet difficulties. And when we do meet difficulties, fear comes into us. And eventually, as fear comes in, we go back to our old ways to seemingly control the situation. What I'm used to do when I'm in a difficulty usually comes into play, and I find myself solving a problem by controlling it and by doing my old way of living. How many of you can relate? And I like our story today because I think we all can relate in this. There are many reasons why we go back to our old ways, to our old habits, to our old ways of solving a problem. One of the reasons is that it's part of our recessive memory. It's just there. Every time there's a situation, I remember this is how I deal with it. I remember that this is what I'm used to doing. It's a recessive memory. It's by naturally coming out of us. It reinforces our values and attitudes. It's important for me to solve this problem the way I want it because this is my value. This is important, and I'm not willing to do it any other way but the way I do it because it's my value. And in result, attitudes come out. This is how I deal with conflicts. I just leave and go to the next one without solving it. That's my value. That's my attitude. That's what I'm used to. My old way worked. I did it before. It worked perfect. I did it to him, and it was so good. The feeling was so good. What was that? I said no. Just kidding. So every time someone approaches, he said no. It worked. And the last one, we don't want to change. It's so difficult to change. How many of you are with me? Even in just simple running, it's so difficult to change. I'm so used to this. Accept me. If you love me, accept me. This is who I am. More than habits. More than habits, it's really us. Sometimes we just say the habits, but it's really us. What can we learn today from Abraham as we look at chapter 20 of Genesis? Let's look at and learn from the old life of Abraham. And Abraham said to Sarah, his wife, "She is my sister." How many of you wives would like to be introduced that way? "Hi, she's my sister." Sister? Okay. Wait till you get home. You will be my brother. Kidding. And Abimelech, king of Gerar, sent and took Sarah. Let me remind you, this is not the first time that Abraham did this. Way back 25 years earlier, Genesis 12, when they had to go to Egypt because there was a famine, and Sarah, at the age of 60, how many of you here are 60? Don't raise your hands. At the age of 60, was so stunning and beautiful that Abraham feared his life because if they knew that she was my wife, they'll kill me so that they can marry her because she was so beautiful. So what did he do? He lied and said, "This is my sister and I'm her brother." He was thinking that maybe they'll treat me better because I'm the brother. And what happened? 90 years old, almost 90 years old, it's the same story repeating itself. Sarah must have been a wonderful woman. At 90, she was still beautiful and stunning. I don't know what she did, but it worked. It's better than what we have today. But you know what? He still lied and said, "My wife is so beautiful that Abimelech will take her and I'll save my life." Self-preservation. When we respond to difficulties and fear, we are trying to self-protect ourselves. Preserve ourselves. Why? Because we don't want to be out of control. Right? And Abimelech said to Abraham, "What did you see that you did this thing?" Abraham said, "I did it because I thought." How many of us today do it because we think? Yeah. We thought, we presume that this is what's going to happen. 90% of what we fear never happens. Do you know that? What happens? There is no fear of God at all in this place. That's why I thought, and they will kill me because of my wife. I read this in the goodread.com. Watch what you think. It becomes your words. Watch your words. They become your action. Watch your action. They become your habits. Watch your habits. They become character. Watch your character. It becomes your destiny. Abraham thought. How many of us look at the situation and we think and we say, "This is how I understand it. That's why I'm doing it this way." Our old habits can become blind spots. You know, when I was learning how to drive, I was 16 years old. I learned driving in Australia. Pastor Arnie mentioned that I have some Aboriginal descent. Not Australian, sorry. Some people are asking me, "You're really Australian?" Yeah, I think so. But anyway, I learned driving in Australia when I was 16 years old. And I thought the side mirrors were just pretty. They just look nice. Just make sure you don't hit those side mirrors because they look nice. It makes the car looks complete, right? That's how it is. Sometimes we make it pink, violet, whatever, red for women. But I didn't understand until I went through the driving class that I can't see the whole picture looking at the rear mirror and my windshield. I realized they told me that while driving, you have blind spots. That's why you need your side mirrors. You see, blind spots are an area in which one fails to exercise judgment and discrimination. We do not exercise judgment because we're so used to doing our own old ways. Well, I don't need to judge. I just need to do and just do whatever I know how to do and survive this situation and get out of this situation as quick as possible, with less pain and less conflict. So blind spots, we all have blind spots. No matter how mature we are in our Christian walk, believe me, we will have blind spots. We will have opportunities to go back to our old ways. Blind spots are dangerous, or endangers our destiny. Do you know that blind spots can take us off the road to destiny and bring us to a place where we were never meant to be? Look at Abraham. The promised son, Isaac, was promised through him and Sarah. And what happened? Get to Abimelech so that I can preserve my life. I don't want to be killed here, Sarah, so just go with him. Maybe this will all come to pass. You see, when we have blind spots, when we try to do our own thing in the midst of conflict, in the midst of difficulty, in the midst of fear, we miss out on what God wants to do in that situation. Yes. And we lose destiny. We lose our way towards what God has promised. Do you know that God promised that he was going to be a father of many nations? Did you know that he promised that he was going to be a blessing more than a curse? Did you know that it was promised that the generation after them will come the generation of Jesus? Do you know that it was promised to him? And do you know when we make decisions out of our blind spots, we not only endanger our destiny, we endanger the destiny of the generation that comes after us. If you are a father, and you have children, make sure you hear God. Because it's not just about your destiny. It's about His destiny, your son's destiny. It's about the destiny the people are looking out for you. It's about that. It's never just about you. Abraham could have lost everything. And where would mankind be? Because Jesus was going to come out of his generation. You know, they could have been killed. Abimelech had all the reason to kill them. You did this to us. We almost became a curse because of you. I'm a king. I'm powerful. I can just kill you and say goodbye. That's how dangerous it is when you just trust your blind spots. Blind spots can cause us to lose our identity. What's this identity? Purpose. How many of you, when things go wrong, when you go back to your old life or your old ways, your habits, you lose the purpose of life? Some of us came to Singapore. I've been here 6 months. And I know exactly the purpose of God that He brought me here. And that's not to make money. Ooh, quiet. It's not that. I have a purpose here that God has brought me in here. And I need to, day by day, realize that I have been given a purpose. And apart from that, it's not just making money. If I get out of that purpose and I just trust my blind spot, little by little, I realize at the end of the day, I'll say, what am I doing here? How many of you don't want to wake up in the morning because you don't even know why you're going to your office? Many of us don't even want to live our Christian life because we don't know what is this. I just go to church. I don't know. Purpose. Identity. God gives that identity. And if we do not follow His way and follow ours, we lose that identity. So Abimelech rose early in the morning and called out his servants and told them all these things. And the men were very much afraid. This is what Abraham was doing. He was putting fear on the people because of his blind spot. Then Abimelech called Abraham and said to him, what have you done to us? And how have I sinned against you that you have brought me and my kingdom a great sin? You have done to me things that ought not to be done. Look at this. What is God saying to you today? What are the old habits that have become your blind spots? How are you when you relate to relationships? For singles, I did it before this way. Why can't I do it now? When I want someone, I just call him. What do we do with our finances? Oh no, there's a bill coming. This is what I used to do. I won't give my tithes because I'll pay my bill. What are the blind spots that we have today? Because we are not willing to change. We may think it worked, so I'm going to continue it. It's part of my memory. It does happen naturally. Let's look at the old life. Let's forget the old life and look at the new life. Do you know that we can learn from Abraham's old life, but we can also learn from the new life he had? God gives us a new life. God gives Abraham a new life. How? But God came to Abimelech in a dream by night and said to him, behold, you are a dead man. How many of you like to dream? And then you get a dream and says, you're a dead man. I think you'll wake up and drink some water and say, hey, that was a nightmare. Because of the woman whom you have taken, for she is a man's wife. Now Abimelech had not approached her, so he said, Lord, will you kill an innocent people? Did he not himself say to me, she is my sister, and she herself said, he is my brother. In the integrity of my heart and the innocence of my hands, I have done this. Then God said to him in a dream, yes, I know you have done this in the integrity of your heart, and it was I who kept you Say that again. It was I who kept you. Who kept him? God. From sinning against me. Therefore, I did not let you touch her. Now then, return the man's wife, for he is a prophet, so that he will pray for you, and you shall live. But if you do not return her, know that you shall surely die, you and all who are yours. God's interventions or intervention brings newness of life. When God enters the picture, when we allow God to enter the picture of our difficulty, something changes. Something new is created. Because when God says, but God comes in. But sometimes we're so enamored of our old ways, we're so used to our old ways, we don't want God to intervene. We don't want the verse, but God intervene. You know, the only time you'll see something new is when you allow Jesus or when you allow God to come into your situation. It may not change the situation, but he'll surely change your heart. And that's still new. God knows how to come in. If we are faithless, he remains faithful. How many of you, like me, many times I become faithless? But I thank God, he remains faithful. For he cannot deny himself. This is our God. He is a faithful God. You know what? Everything changed when God came in. Even for Abimelech, there was a new thing for him. What did he say? I was the one who did not want you to sin because I'm doing a new thing in your life. What has God promised you today? What has God rescued you for today that you know he has given a promise, but yet you are not willing to let him come in? What has God promised you? If you're single, he promised you to have a man for your life. Wait. And I say that with conviction. Wait. It's real. Wait. If you're wanting a promotion, let God be the one that will bring the promotion. If you want a change in your family, then allow God to change you. Allow God to do something that's different in you and not just what you're used to. He remains faithful. God has rescued us from an old life to give us something new. But before that, the now life. He not only brings us to a new life, but what is this now life? Just like you and me, just like Abraham, there is a journey to the new life, the promise, but there is in that journey is the now life. It's the now life. What is this? Now then, return to the man's wife, for he is a prophet, so that he will pray for you and you shall live. But if you do not return her, know that you shall surely die. Abraham, in the midst of difficulty, in the midst of fear, the now life he had was to pray. Then Abraham prayed to God, and God healed Abimelech. And also healed his wife and female slaves so that they bore children. For the Lord had closed all the wombs of the house of Abimelech because of Sarah, Abraham's wife. Guess what? The now life is not just the old life and getting to the new life. It's the now life that will lead us to the new life. It's the life of faith. Faith is now. It took Abraham faith to pray for Abimelech. It took Abimelech faith to return his wife. Because that is the now thing that God is asking them to do. Today, what is the now thing that God is asking you to do in the midst of difficulty, in the midst of you don't liking your boss, in the midst of health problems? What is the now thing? What is that faith that God wants you to step out? Every day is a step of faith. Every time you wake up and you face difficulty, you say, God, today I'm going to move out in faith. Because if I don't move out in faith, I'm not going to get to the new life. Life is not going to be easy. In fact, the Bible says it will be difficult. But God has given us faith. What are you doing with faith today? This is the now life. Now is faith. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for. The convictions of things not seen. That's why it's a promise. Because if you have it, it's no longer a promise. And it takes faith to get to the promise of God. It takes you to fight whatever is in your flesh, whatever you're used to, and say, God, I'm not going to go through that. I'm going to move out in faith today. Yes. I'm not going to go back to my old life. Lord, I'm going to do something different today. Yes. I'm going to walk out in faith. And this is where you need your godly friends. This is where you need people that will tell you the truth, even if it hurts. Some of you don't like me. But I'll tell you, I need the truth so that I can walk out my life. Yes. I need friends that are not scared of me and say, you know what, Rhea, you're blowing it. You're not thinking right. You're not judging right. You need to come back here because you're in that direction of the new life. Do you have friends like that? If you, yes, me, no. You know why I'm up to today? I'm still here. I've been serving in Bacolod for 13 years. Bacolod is a small place in the Philippines. I've been serving there as full-time and then eventually became a pastor. But 13 years. Before that, I was serving 8 years. Before that, I was doing nursing. Before that, I was doing... But you know why I'm still here? By God's grace and for people that love me too much to just hang on to my blindfolds so that I can go on. I need people to tell me the truth. I need the Word of God. I need to meditate on the Word of God, that when things say, when my thoughts direct me there, it's the Word of God that's coming out. It's coming out. It's coming out. I will not go back. I will move because I have the Word of God. Where is the Word of God in your heart today? I'm not mad. I just had strong coffee. But today, as I end, let me say this. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than yours. Thank God that my ways are not going to make me go through this life. It's the ways of God. My thoughts are not your thoughts. Thank God that my thoughts are so limited, but God's thoughts are so unlimited. I can do anything because He says I can. Yes. I'm so glad. I'm so glad that my destiny and purpose is not dependent on me. It's dependent on a God that is greater than me. Praise God. I have a chance, though in my weakness, I have a chance when I go back to my old ways, I have a chance to return to God and say, Lord, I blew it. I blew it. Will you come and be the God of my situation? I don't want to control it anymore, God. I want you to control it. And God, give me the grace that I just trust you. Let me walk out this life of mine in faith. Though it hurts, keep walking. Though it's scary, keep walking in faith. Though it's you might feel like you're alone and no one understands, keep walking in faith. For God knows. God knows. You have a choice. We have a choice today. Do we go back to our old life and do things the way we want to do it? Or will I live the now faith, the now life,
that God has given me? Will I walk out every day saying, God, what an opportunity, I can now live in faith again. I could have lost it last night, but God, today is a brand new day. I'm going to walk out in faith today. So that, Lord, I can see the new life, the promise of God fulfilled in my life. That the people that come after me will enjoy what I have done and I have walked in faith. I will see my son serve you. I will see my daughter come to know you. Because, Lord, every time I walk in faith, I'm doing it not just, I'm doing God for you, but I'm also doing it for the people behind me. Thank you, God. And today, if you're here, there's hope. If you messed up like I have, there's hope. Because our God is faithful. And if you, I pray that today we will open our hearts. We open the eyes of our hearts that we may see the blind spots, the bad habits that we have developed that have gone and covered up what we don't want to feel. And I pray that as God reveals it to you, I pray we will be quick to repent and say, God, I trusted in my life. Today I'm going to give it to you. And Lord, give me the courage to live my now life. Every morning I wake up, give me the courage to be in faith. Thank you so much. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to the Every Nation Singapore podcast. We hope you've been blessed by today's message. For more information, visit everynation.org.sg.